And as promised, I have the man, the myth, the legend, the one and only Benji Fonic with me. Brother, how are you?
Woohoo! Let me tell you, I'm awesome. You're awesome. We're awesome together.
It's just all awesomeness tonight, man. I tell you. And I as I was mentioning before the break, you know, I put you on the list in like December because I started. I mean, I'm a Benji Fonic fan. There's no way other way to describe it. And so I'm gonna be picking your brain tonight, man.
You know, I'm not afraid. That's a medical thing, and we can do that on the air, right?
I do play a doctor on the radio.
I mean, okay, well, that's good. And I used to listen to Dr. Demento, so that's good.
Oh, we've been talking behind the scenes for like 5 minutes, so we're both already in tune here.
Right. We're like a machine that has been warmed up, and we're ready to bring funk and fabulosity.
Fabulosity. Uh-huh. All right, but before we get into the Benji Fonic side of things, why don't you give folks a little bit of your history?
Excellent. So I've been a musician for a while, I'm sure we'll talk about this, but my new album that's going to come out in the spring and the summer is called I Got Old. And it's because I've been out for a while. I've been doing this. And I first worked on a band for about 15 years called Conspiracy of Thought. And I toured around the country and got radio play and really it was a great project. I loved being a part of that. And then after that, for about 7 years, I was involved in a project called Songhammer. And we did music for World of Warcraft and Overwatch and Heroes of the Storm, Blizzard titles mostly, but we also did songs about like Game of Thrones and Star Wars, and we performed at places like San Diego Comic-Con or the LA Comic-Con. We did Anaheim Convention Center, BlizzCon several times, Gamescom in Germany, stuff like that. And then I got this itch because I had done rock, I'd done pop, I'd done metal. But there's one thing I just hadn't got, and it actually was at the core of me, was this early hip-hop love. And I thought I had never done anything fully focused on funk and hip-hop. And I decided it was time. And Benji Fonic was born about 2.5 years ago.
Wow. Well, yeah, I guess that makes sense. Based on what I've seen, Yeah, I guess I'm getting old too. Well, I know I'm getting old because I just had a new driver's license picture taken yesterday, and some I don't know how those cameras can just totally pick up on the fact that you've aged horribly since the last time you went through the experience.
You know, I'm embracing it at this point. I figure I'm old. Let's just get funky, and you know, I dance like an old person, and that's good. In any Benji Fonic video, you see me dancing. And it's terrible, but it's beautiful.
So what was the music that you grew up on?
So, like, a great example is, so I was finishing high school in the late 80s, early 90s. And so, I mean, my first stuff was all, like, rock stuff. So I was into stuff like Van Halen or Devo and things like that. But then this crazy music started coming out, and I heard this band called Run DMC, and it just captivated me. And then the Beastie Boys, and then LL Cool J, and stuff like that. And then as I got more into listening to alternative music and hip-hop music, I started learning that all that sampling that was going on was coming from somewhere. And then I got into James Brown, and then I got into Parliament Funkadelic, and then I got into all these other things, you know, that people were sampling from, and the musical journey just has taken me down huge rabbit holes.
Man, and so I told you this off air, but you know, in the first 20 seconds of listening to a Mega Funk 10,000, that's what I heard. I heard the old Funkadelic with Bootsy, and you know, I had all kinds of psychedelic colors going on in my head, and it was a trip. But
yeah, did you see the color warning? You know, hey, listening to this song could cause psychedelic experiences.
And the warning is much needed. Much
excellent. Well, I think I told you this, but when I wrote the song, I basically thought, okay, I want to write the song that, you know, that hip hop groups from like the early 70s into the early 80s would have used as their loop in order to, you know, have this awesome song to rap over. And so Omega Funk 10,000 is like my tribute to, you know, George Clinton, to Parliament Funkadelic, to that whole era of music. And I love it. And so I'm hoping that the love actually comes through in the music.
It does. And you know, something else that you mentioned to me was, you know, your goal is to have fun and inject a little bit of humor at the same time. I mean, that's real evident in your lyrics, especially the Benji Phonic Christmas. I mean, dude, that was absolutely stellar. I had to listen to it like four times in a row because my brain would drift into the music for just a little bit, and then I'd hear something in the lyrics, and it's like, did he just say that?
So like that he wanted me to take him for some home invasions.
Well, that was the first one. It was like, say what? Oh, wow, wait a minute. I'm going to be playing this on a Christmas show and there'll be kids. But then as I listened to it, it's like, it, you know, it was like, it just fit perfectly. So, I mean, and the music, I mean, for somebody taking this on as a fun project, the music itself is absolutely 100% absolutely solid. And
thank you.
So why don't you take us through kind of the life cycle of how something goes from thought to finished product with Benji Phonic?
That's awesome. So I can, how about if I explain a song that I'm working on right now? So the title track for a new album that's coming out is going to be called I Got Old. And I was thinking about, like, so each of the Benji Phonic albums has been kind of like a walk through different periods in music and also hip hop a little bit, but also funk and alternative music. And so the first one was really rudimentary. The first EP is called We Stole Hip Hop. And then, and that song has, you know, almost country hip hop flavor. And it's old, like 80s style rapping. And then the next EP, I was starting to focus on like the late 80s, early 90s. This next one, I'm focusing on like early 90s into the late 90s. And I thought to myself, like as I was thinking about song concepts and music, I thought, okay, what would be, you know, cool for this year? And I said, okay, I want to write a song that sounds like James Brown hired Trent Reznor to create his next club banger, and that was going to be the sound. And then I want, like, because I want James Brown's horn section with Trent Reznor's music, and then all of the funkiness. And then I'm going to rap like Snoop Dogg, and then Snoop Dogg's going to buy it, you know, that kind of thing. So the title track to the next album. And as I'm writing, I'm thinking, okay, how do I produce something that might sound like, you know, like this? And I'm constantly trying to give myself challenges, like, okay, I haven't done this before, so how do I do it? What would it sound like? How do I, you know, get a funky, great keyboard sound to sound like that? Or how do I program? So that's kind of part of the process.
Okay. So you've talked about wanting to take folks kind of through a history of hip hop with the last EP and Omega Funk 10,000 right. New album. How, and I'm asking you this because I'm gonna be honest, I don't listen to a whole lot of hip hop.
Right.
So how do you see, what was the, in your mind, what was the evolution of hip hop from that early 80s Run DMC stuff to what we hear today?
I think the evolution of hip hop definitely starts even before that, you know, like in the early 70s. I think that they actually, they pinpointed that the first ever hip hop party was thrown by Kool Herc, DJ Kool Herc. And it's called a hip hop party because he kept spinning just the breakbeats on the music instead of the whole albums. So for like the incredible Bongo Band, you know, he would just be doing the great drum breaks and everything like that. That was in August. That was on August 11th, 1973. That's where hip hop actually starts. And then you start having these groups that are like Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five or the Funky Four Plus One and DJ Run from Run DMC started as a DJ for Curtis Blow. And nobody had recorded anything. There was nothing recorded. And so all these bands had like all these songs and all this stuff. And so the first big jump in evolution happened when basically hip hop goes to wax, it goes to recording. And it was actually the Sugar Hill Gang that records the first hip hop song. And they weren't even in the circles of all these other people. And then you talked about Run DMC. So then Run DMC in the next kind of phase in the early 80s, they come onto the scene. And, you know, then you have like the golden age of hip hop, like, you know, LL Cool J and the Beastie Boys and Run DMC and all of these and everything coming out of New York at that time. And then I think into the 90s, you know, hip hop started becoming something so everybody was starting to glom onto it, and it started affecting, I think, music. Like you start hearing Red Hot Chili Peppers, Faith No More, Rage Against the Machine, all these bands that start taking elements of hip hop and putting it into their music. And actually you hear a lot of that in Benji Phonic because that's the stuff I was playing in the 90s and in the early 2000s was stuff that was more like, you know, Chili Peppers or Rage Against the Machine or that kind of stuff. And so that's that I, as much as I try to be a purist, I have a hard time because I'm a musician.
Well, but again, that's the part that comes through because as opposed to what I think of as hip hop,
right?
You know, true hip hop.
Sure,
you've got a whole bunch of stuff going on underneath the lyrics and the rap, and right. Again, that's what drew me to this. It was like, oh my God, and you know, you inject a little bit of humor into it, and that's why I've been saying. To me, it's genius. It's absolute genius because, you know, the way the music industry goes, what there hasn't been a whole lot of lately are those artists that are willing to inject a little bit of humor into what they're doing in a way that doesn't take away from the music, but makes the listener go, man, that wasn't only funny, but that was really good.
I think that crossing over into doing music for like video game companies or things like that, you know, you have to. We were, you know, focusing with the Songhammer project on being serious, like writing serious music, being really good songwriters, but at the same time being cheeky about it. And allowing ourselves to kind of be cheeky in that. And that freed me up to realize that, oh my gosh, I think, you know, I just want to, and it also as I get older, you know, I want to, you know, write funky songs and film videos of me taking a Vegas road trip. And so I want people to be able to, and especially right now with COVID and with where we've been, there's a lot of serious artists out there doing serious music and God bless them. I'm glad that they are, but we also need to just be able to let our hair down, laugh and party and, you know, enjoy life as well. And so I think that, I'm trying to bring that balance.
Very cool. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to let our hair down. We're going to party a little bit.
Yes. So
you and I are going to take a little bit of a break because it's time for some Omega Funk 10,000.
Woo-hoo! That's what I'm talking about.
So I got Benji Fonic on the line with me. I got Benji Fonic queued up. It all works out. It's amazing how it all works out. We'll be back here in a few. Here's Benji Fonic, Omega Funk 10,000. This is Cosmic Fonic and Benji Debris. Soul Brothers. Well, you know, Rose, there's probably a little bit of truth there. So we were talking. You've got the new project coming up. What is it? I Got Old.
Yeah, I Got Old. That's the name of the EP.
We've been talking a little bit about it behind the scenes, but how far into it are you right now?
I have 6 songs recorded. All of the basic music is done. And again, this is a jump in evolution, musically. So there's the title track, I Got Old, is kind of, it's like I said, it's a James Brown meets Trent Reznor kind of song. And it's in of the bane of Omega Funk 10,000 with the great horns and it's got a lot of musicality to it. But I'm doing a little less singing and a little more rapping a la Snoop Dogg style. And then the other tunes I've been creating my own samples to sample and loop. And so I'm writing whole pieces of music just so I can hack them up and then use them as loops in the music. So I'm having a total blast, but we're getting close. I'm actually I have 4 days of mixing in another studio, for the first 2 songs.
Has an artist ever sampled themselves before?
You know, they have. Like, if you hear, there's a song that a producer named Timbaland produced called Pony. And in this song, you hear this, it sounds like a talk box. It goes, ow, 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 ow. And he created a piece of music, sampled his voice, did this, and then he played it as instruments, and so he ended up sampling himself and creating a piece of music that he hacked up and then sampled again. And that's actually where I got the idea, which is pretty awesome,
man. So you were mentioning off air, you've got the home studio where you're able to create at least I'm going to assume the bass for everything, right?
Yeah, so I record I'm a very lucky dude in that, you know, having played in so many projects over the years, I was able to pick up chops for recording pretty much all of the instruments. And so I do 99% of all the instrumentation. So it's drums, it's bass guitar, it's guitars, it's pianos, horns, all that kind of stuff. And all of that is recorded here. And then I bring in another couple musicians that do keys and other things to try and, if they have any ideas, just anything, we'll try anything. And they can come in and do whatever they like, and then we mess around with that. And then I have singers that come in, and they do backups for me. And so in the demo versions, I'm doing all the vocals, like the women singing or whatever. Like, you know, I'm the one actually do it. This joint is stupid fly. So in Omega Funk 10,000 in the original, I'm the one doing that. And I'm saying, can you do something like I'm doing, but better? And they're like, yeah, it's not hard to do it better than what you just did.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's the process.
So, and you were saying that'll probably be out later on this year, correct?
Yeah. The first, I'm going to drop even before the EP has gone through the second studio phase. So everything's recorded and tracked here. I take it to another studio to mix again with another producer, and when we do that, then we put it out. I'm going to have the first few songs done in the next month and a half, and I'm already slated to film the title track, the video for the title track, in March, and so either in April or May, I'm going to I'm going to be launching the title track, and then we're going to put out songs individually, and we'll compile it all. And in the fall, the EP will be out as a whole.
And that's, I see a bunch of artists doing that. And in my mind, it, that actually makes a lot of sense, because hopefully you grab enough listeners and enough fans from each singles release so that when the EP comes out, they're latching onto the EP all because of a different song that they heard.
Right.
And it seems to work really good.
The album era, I mean, as much as I like, there are albums that I just love to listen to as a whole album because of connective materials and things that people do. There's a few Linkin Park albums that I think are just are works of utter art with how they have these samples in between songs and little things. Public Enemy has an album called Music and Our Message, which came out in the late 90s. And they have all of these little, like, a few second things in between the songs that connect song to song. And a band called Run the Jewels just put out this whole album that's amazing. It's a hip hop album, and it's Grammy worthy. It's just amazing. And the songs blend into one another. And that can be done today, but with Spotify, with iTunes, with, you know, Google Play and all of the different music formats, especially the streaming formats, the old album format doesn't really work. We have to have content consistently. And so my focus is to create that album experience, but to do it by piecemealing out that album throughout the year.
No, I get it. You know, Spotify is the evil empire, but I get it.
It is, but right now it's, as for us as musicians, you know, it's like we're forced into it.
You are. I was having a big long conversation about Spotify last night with an artist. And
yeah,
they're not on top of my favorite list, but I got to be honest. I mean, that's how I find out. 90% of the time, that's how I find out when one of our artists has something new out, because
right. Yeah. It's through Spotify or yeah. You know, but the music industry has always had necessary evils, you know, whether it be the record labels themselves sometimes or other forms or entities, you know, there's always hoops. And for artists, I think that exists. And our challenge is, how do we navigate those areas and those places and still be, you know, new and fresh and live and, you know, keep things moving. And when I first started, it was demo cassette tapes, and then it went to CD, you know, demos, and then it's MP3s, and now MP3, like, iTunes doesn't even sell MP3s anymore. It's only streaming. So it's like, you know, as a musician, I'm just constantly having to ride the wave.
Demos on cassettes, man. I remember those days.
Oh, yeah, man.
And I'm trying to remember. I'm sure it was one of our, I know who I was talking to. It was when I was talking to Wicked Tree last week. I think I mentioned that I can remember the days of setting the band up and having the cheap Radio Shack cassette recorder.
Yeah.
With the little plastic microphone.
Oh, awesome. Yes.
And you hoped. You ended up doing like 15 takes because you had to record and then listen back and figure out where the balance was and what you needed to
correct.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, technology today, you guys that are still in the business, you guys have such a leg up because, you know, like you've said, you've got the home studio. So you're able to do that. We've got a bunch of artists that, we've got one band in our rotation. I think it's Scoov. They've never met. They're on three different continents, and they found each other.
The members of the band are on three different continents.
They've never met. They met like through SoundCloud or something.
Awesome.
But they're able to blend everything together. And you know, and I hear enough from artists about their recording process to know. You know, the ability to just send a click track demo to your bass player and say, all right, you know, here you go to it. You know, we didn't have that shit back in my day. I mean,
I'm doing the same thing right now. So the backup singers that I have that are doing the music, they're not coming here. I've sent them notes. I sent them, like you said, a click and demo, and I'm sending them music files and notes. We're going to be Skyping as we're talking, and then they're going to lay tracks, and then they'll send me those tracks, and then I'm going to mix them back in. So, I mean, some people are doing it like you, like this group you were talking about. They were doing that because they're on different continents. But with COVID going on right now, you know, we're able to use those same things and, you know, keep the music alive, which is, it's so cool. And this last year, you know, as crazy as it's been, I've never been more productive with music. And, you know, I filmed 5 music videos and I put out a new EP. I scored a movie. I got to do all these things because I was here and couldn't do anything else.
Well, and you know, from my end, when the pandemic started, I really wondered if I was going to be able to have any new music to provide folks, because I didn't know what was going to end up happening. And I ended up doing more new music shows last year by far than any other year because musicians, you know, I can't go to work. I can't play out. I can't do, I'm just going to start recording.
And it's incredible. I mean, I have heard some amazing music coming out of artists in the last year. And I think that people they've had more time to spend on the music than they normally would and less distraction. And as a result, I think just some incredible stuff's come out.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So you talked about doing 5 videos. I want to know, how much fun was it doing the video for Omega Funk 10,000?
That was okay. So originally, the original concept for the video was, I'm in outer space and I'm flying, and we had this set in LA that's an actual spaceship in this huge warehouse, and like you can film it from the outside, and inside there's like cockpits and all these rooms and all this. And I have friends who are cosplayers who have full like 10-foot Transformer cosplays, and I was talking to them and they were going to be in the video. I mean, we had this whole thing set up. And COVID hits, and we were like, all the studio place closed, all this stuff. And so I talked with the director and I said, what are we going to do? And he's like, well, sounds like it's time for a road trip. And I was like, hell yes, it is. So, yeah, and I was like, okay, what's close? So we started looking, and I'm like, what about Vegas? And he's like, yeah. And there's these weird stops all between like LA and Las Vegas. There's weird places like Elmer's Bottle Tree Farm, or like, you know, the biggest sundae in the world, you know, that's this giant like structure or whatever. There's all this stuff, the 7 Magic Mountains, which are all those colored rocks. And I said, what if we stopped at all of the crazy places and did like a, you know, this is 150 miles to Vegas. This is, you know, 80 miles to Vegas. Oh, the tallest thermometer in the world. So we plan it all out. We map it out. We figure it out. We rent that lime green SUV, which was so rad. And then it's just me, the director, who's the other guy, Wen Lake, who's the kind of weirdo guy. I'm saying weirdo. I'm an insane weirdo. I'm wearing gold pants and dancing in the desert. but so that's the director. The other guy's the director. And then we had a cameraman. And he said, hey, can I bring a drone? And we were like, yeah, you can. And so we did all the aerial shots with his drone. And there was nobody anywhere. I mean, we get to Vegas at night and, you know, we ended up filming inside Treasure Island because nobody was there. I mean, nobody stopped us. And we're walking out on the strip and we're literally filming on the street, on the strip in Las Vegas, and nobody's there, which was awesome for us because we were like, oh my gosh. So we had an insane good time that day, but It was 122 degrees when we got to Las Vegas. I've never been so hot in my life out, like, because we're dancing at all these places. I thought we were going to die.
Man, 122 degrees.
Yeah, in the video you can see we use the drone and we go up the thermometer and mm-hmm. it says 120 degrees at the top when you actually get there, and then by the time we left that little town where the thermometer is, it was 122, and that day in Death Valley it was the second hottest day in registered history. It was 130 degrees.
Well, yeah, they knew you were going to be shooting a video, so
right,
turn up the heat a little bit. All right,
the music god said, "We're going to cook this guy alive."
Oh, you think it's hip hop? Oh, okay, well, let's see how you can do with this.
Puny mortal.
All right, so Fitty wants you to talk about the video your parents were in.
Oh, awesome. Braggadocious Rhyme is the name of that song. So so the first album, We Stole Hip Hop, the second single that I put out was Braggadocious Rhyme. And in early hip hop, like you listen to any album or group, you know, in the early 80s, and they're talking about how awesome they are and what a sucker everybody else is. And, you know, that they're the best rapper and all this. And so I thought, I need to create a brag and boast song about how awesome Benji Phonik is, knowing that I am not even anything close to the best rapper in the world. And so I make this song, and in the chorus it says, "My mama said you're a sucker MC." And so I thought it would be funny if I filmed this. And again, it's the same director, Joel Berry is his name. And he's directed all the Benji Phonik videos. And he knew this little burger joint in Riverside, California, where I live, that he had filmed a independent film using. And so we contacted them and said, "Hey, would you mind if we came and film?" And they were like, "Yeah, do it." And so I thought it would be funny if my parents were sitting behind me in the video. Like, I come in and I have, like, I work at this place, the Lucky Greek. And we made these shirts that actually have embroidered Lucky Greek, and it says Benji Phonik on it.
Oh, wow.
And me and this one other guy are supposed to be co-workers there. And I thought, okay, I'm on my lunch break. Wouldn't it be funny if my parents are sitting right behind me in the booth, and then at some point in the song, when I'm saying, "My mama said you're a sucker MC," my mom actually says, "You're a sucker MC." So I asked my parents, "Are you willing to do this?" And my mom's like, "Heck yes, I am. Let's do this."
Okay, well, that would explain some of your genetic makeup right there.
Right.
If mom's willing to get in on it, yeah, that's cool. That's cool. I've had a chance to watch that one a couple of times, and it is. It's a lot of fun, but I didn't recognize until Fitty pointed it out that those were actually your parents. So
yeah, it's pretty awesome. The fact that they would do it is great. I've been really I've had some really great people working on the videos with me and doing work. And again, fun and funny, you know, that's been kind of the rules, is making it fun, making it something that people can just, you know, enjoy and laugh at. And I'm certainly hoping they're laughing at me, because I'm laughing at myself all the time.
Well, I'm going to tell you, from a fun perspective, I mean, it's right there. Everything is just right there. From a funny perspective, I use this word frequently when your name comes up. It's just absolutely freaking genius, dude. It really is, because it doesn't cross the line into full blown camp, but you listen to it and I kind of wondered, you know, part of it wasn't necessarily my hesitation in doing this conversation, but I was going to be at a little bit of loss for words if you got on the air and you were 100% serious about what you were doing.
That's great. I was on a radio program in LA. There's a station called KLOS, and they had this was in May. They have a program called Stay or Go, and so they had Benji Fonick come on, and they played the song We Stole Hip Hop, and then if you stay, they play another song, and I did end up staying, and they played a song called I Don't Even Know Where I've Been. But when they were talking about the song We Stole Hip Hop, they were talking to me on air, and this is during their morning show. And they say, what are you even trying to do? And this one guy says, you are the most terrible rapper I've ever heard, and I can't stop listening to it. And I start laughing, and he says, please tell me you're not serious. And I said, I'm completely serious. I said, and you're, this is really hurting my feelings right now. and they all start laughing because they know that I'm not serious.
Well, that's why we kind of eased into the conversation off here, because I had to do the true reality check here, because there was a part of me, even though the videos kind of show the playful side of Benji right. Fonick. I'm like, man, if he is just like dead set serious, yeah, this is who I am, this is what I do. It's like, what am I going to ask him, and how are we going to take up the time for the interview?
Right. Well, I always say, you know, I call myself a hip hop historian, and I'm the last person on the planet who should be telling and teaching anybody about hip hop. But I love it. You know, it's something that I think is really cool. But at the same time, I'm this, you know, ex rock musician who's trying to figure things out. And I'm a complete hack job, cheese whiz, nutball. And I'm okay with that. I have to be okay with that.
we're more than okay with that.
See, and I love that.
So, In kind of wrapping this thing up, why don't you tell folks where they can find your music, find you on social media and the internet and all of that stuff?
Yeah. So anywhere you look, Benji Fonick is BenjiPhonik. Again, that's BenjiPhonik. And if you look up on Spotify, you're going to find Benji Fonick. If you look in SoundCloud, you're going to find Benji Fonick. In Facebook, it's Benji Fonick, or facebook.com/Benji Fonick. Instagram, at Benji Fonick. Twitter, Benji Fonick, same thing. So part of when I decided to make my name Benji Fonick, it was, hey, no one has this domain name on all of the different platforms. I guess that's who I'm going to be. So it's Benji Fonick everywhere. I literally am everywhere. There's like 30 different music sites you can find my music on.
And then there is BenjiFonick.com, correct?
There is, on top of it all. That's right.
Yeah, because I tried to do a little bit of research before the show, and it's like on top of everything else, it's like, all right, I don't see any kind of about information here. So
right. I've been a little elusive about that because I wanted to create a little bit of mystique, and I wanted to enjoy being able to really talk about that on shows like this. Well, you know, dude, I would juicy details out there.
I would say do a total camp job on it. Have fun with it. You know,
I'm not afraid to have fun.
Well, and so, you know, maybe you create this mysterious Benji Fonick aura with this interesting little biography, you know?
I like that idea. I think I'm going to take you up on that. Challenge accepted.
Yeah, you know, you're having fun with it. You might as well go full boat on it and just.
Oh man, I'm not afraid. You know, I got if I can wear gold pants in the desert in 120 degrees, I can do anything.
That I have no doubt. All right, my friend, I've had. I mean, number one, thanks for coming on the air, because I really have been looking forward to this, and I think our listeners have a little bit better idea of what Benji Fonic is all about.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me, and I 100% love that Music Mafia Radio has been playing the song, and that it's been that Omega Funk 10,000 has been in the top 30 for the last month. And I'm jazzed out of my head. And I thank you so much. And particularly that Cosmic Debris has been so supportive. And thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, brother. That's what we do. I mean, you make the music, we play it, and it all works out.